brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Hello, hello, Canadian. Hello.
Oh, ho, ho.
Oui, oui. Welcome to another suds segment where we don't discriminate. We'll drink just about anything you put in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
We may have our pinkies up or down, though, at the time. Joining me at the table today is good old boy Sean.
Hello, hello. Good to be back and ready to try some cider.
He gave it away.
Gave it away. Wow.
He gave it away.
There goes the cigarette right out the window.
Darn it.
No cider for you. Up.
Those of you that are still with us.
Good old boy Mike.
Yes, I know. I'm still here.
I think it sucks.
Well, I mean, as you know, long as you had nothing else to do and hang out with us.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe she bring that up. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
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 I knew that was going to bite me. Yep.
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 Could a boy Drew.
What? Huh? Oh, hey. Sorry. Wasn't paying attention.
Drew's getting his vocal
words
ready.
Me.
Cider would be so much better with maple syrup.
Good boy, Dave.
I am a cider drinker. I drinks it all on the day.
How much do we have the Dropkick Murphys now?
I am a cider drinker. It's too long.
These guys were the Dropkick Murphys before the Dropkick Murphys.
Oh, yeah, we're paying
this royalty. Oh, they might be giants?
Oh.
Wow.
Sorry. Okay. We should have done a snake bite for this episode as well.
Oh, yeah.
There's still time.
Definitely not. Mike shutting us down.
That's for the after show party.
Oh, wow.
You got to have the Chambord floater for Mike.
That is correct. Wow. That is the only way it's going to happen.
Well, I am good old gal, Juliana. And today, we're probably going to butcher a couple of words.
Hey,
we may insult a couple of countries.
So it's a typical
you know what?
Episode.
We're doing it all for you guys, our fans, and our listeners. The things that we do for them, right? Okay. Well,
yeah.
Today's episode is a cider episode.
Cool.
We recently picked up a random collection of ciders, both domestic and some imported.
No, Dave, not that one. That one.
He was going by the colors.
What are you doing with your hands?
Oh.
You said random.
Well, that might have been random.
I was mimicking your shopping process.
Wow. Good old boy Drew, are you warmed up and ready for the lineup today?
I will do what I can.
Maybe, mama, boo.
I'm not 100% sure why you talked me into this.
Okay.
So the ciders that we'll be tasting today, and apparently I'm going to be singing them operatically because we were discussing this, I revealed that, my fun fact is that I'm an operatic singer trained, so I can sing in lots of languages. I don't know what any of them mean. So here we go. Ordajo Iberico craft Basque cider from Berezuelta, Astigaraga, in Guipúzcoa, Spain. 6% ABV.
Yes, yes.
Cider from Sidreria, Izeta, in Guipúzcoa, Spain. 6% ABV. Segardo Naturala from Isastegui Cider House in Tolosa, Spain. Also 6% ABV. Cornaduay from Sidereria Manoir du Quinquis in Quimper, France. 5% ABV.
Oh, that's a lightweight.
Cider Nouveau from Potter's Craft Ciders in Charlottesville, Virginia. Merca. 9% ABV.
Yes.
That's the Porgy and Bess version. Farmhouse Dry from Potter's Craft Ciders in Charlottesville, Virginia. Dolly Parton, America. 8.4% ABV. Sur la mer from, Family Cellars in Elk, California. America, 7.5% ABV.
You know, I just want to say that I'm hard and I have an overwhelming desire to go to Sonic right now. I'm not really quite sure which of those two. Hard? You know,
popcorn chicken?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I think the show's over.
Oh, this is a family cider show, yes.
We are so over the rails right now.
Opera has absolutely nothing to do with anything we're talking about, but why the heck not? It was fun.
You did a much better job than I would have, so thank you. Thank you for taking one for the team there, Drew.
Well, when you sing it, they can't tell you mispronounce it. That's the secret.
Oh, well, you can tell from his voice that Drew is not a Castrato.
I'm going to try that in court next week. You're a soul guilty. I don't believe any of the evidence against you.
I mean, if you can wear a wig in British court. Oh,
that's for sure, man. You know, can you imagine? Well,
it's like Hamilton goes to Washington.
As a solicitor, I don't get to wear the wig. So, you know, only the barristers get to wear the wig.
Mike only gets to wear the wig at home.
I agree. If there was anything that would actually step up in high court that would make it like entertaining, is if you turn it into an opera, you know?
I think they tried it. It was called Cop Rock.
I was like, you have to. Nice. I was like, I'd say you'd have a hard time finding a librettist, but.
Okay. Well.
All right, boys.
Let's good old boy, Sean. On. Why don't we get to the suds ratings?
Well done. All righty. We'll be discussing and rating these ciders with these suds ratings plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. Suds number one, the lowest rating. That sucks. Give me anything but an angry orchard.
Well.
Shots fired.
Cider boy.
Fats for sure.
Suds 2. Was that a belch or a woodchuck?
Ooh, that's nice.
Suds 3. Ah, what a relief. 4. A body should really not make that sound.
Unless it's good old boy Drew.
Or Strongbow.
And our top rating reserved for the best of the best, Suds 5. Listen to that hang time. Give me another.
Okay. Wow. That was awesome.
That was good. That was that was a strong beginning to an episode.
How do I?
It's all downhill from here.
I don't know. I hope the cider can hold up to us.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get to the cider. And the first one is from Spain. It is the Ordajo Iberico Craft Basque Cider from...
Sing it for Drew.
Berezuarta Astigarraga.
Astigarraga. I'm just guessing. My wife is Basque, so...
Astigarraga.
Hey, seriously, if you can't pick up on all the names of these products today, then in our show notes for the episode, you'll actually get to see how well we're butchering them.
So in other words, this is Spanish cider.
From the place where the pigs eat the acorns and get turned into the most delicious ham in the world.
See. So certified organic, biodynamic, gluten-free, and all-natural Basque hard
cider. So Basque
cider
is a county or region in Spain, in northwestern Spain, I believe, in the Pyrenees Mountains between France and Spain.
Aren't they known for their separatists?
Yeah,
I was about to say.
Well, actually, there's actually two types. There's largemouth Basque and smallmouth Basque.
I like that. Ban once again.
Don't go to Spain, anyone. Yeah. From the show.
Okay, so
no cider for you.
Good old boy Sean. In terms of cider, cider is what?
It's fermented apples.
Okay,
fermented
apple juice. As that.
As simple as that.
So rumor has it.
Yeast nutrients and
rumor has it. We have a BJCP certified cider judge.
So one of the key things that you have to know about cider is that cider is usually not made from the varieties of apples that you see in the grocery store.
Correct.
There are
no Granny Smith.
No Granny Smith involved. You
no
know,
gala
with no, no gala apples. You know,
sometimes a gala
Fuji.
And it, so, yeah. One of the difficult things that's happened with a lot of the cider industry over time is that they have lost a lot of the varieties of cider apples that have been around for eons of time. And
those
so
heirlooms.
This is just a real tragedy that a lot of. You know, a lot of cider makers are really dealing with is that they simply cannot produce or recreate a lot of historic blends or ciders that they've been making. It's been a combination of they've lost the varieties of the apples that they're working with,
inbreeding.
As well as the yeast components have been lost over time as well, because there hasn't been really good, you know, management of, you know, either one of those things over time. And so, I know this really well. Our family owned a cider mill. And I mean, I grew up with, you know, going to, you know, to the cider mill, you know, every summer, and just would walk in there, and it's just, you know, sticky sweet and
walk
really
in there
awesome.
Like you own the place.
Yeah, I did. We did. So
give me the juice.
Started from
the juice.
A young age.
But I remember hearing a lot of the challenges, you know, that was happening kind of year over year because you slowly changed out a lot of the variety of apples to appeal towards, you know, a lot of the grocery produce crowd. And we stopped, you know, actually making less and less, you know, apples that actually would work with the cider.
Well, and the other thing to know about apples, and especially in particular the seeds, is that every seed you find in an apple core is genetically different from not only the seeds.
Nine times out of ten. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Not only from the seeds containing that core, but also from the tree that it came from. So,
hybridization.
Know, yes.
Yeah. So the apple does fall far from the tree?
The genetic apple falls far from the tree.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Can you smack him for us? I can't reach him.
Wow.
She will later.
Okay. So let's start getting into this. So this is a little cloudy. Yeah?
We'll get into it after the
break.
And
we will after the break.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're taking a trip around the world with an apple in our hand.
Johnny.
Frickin' apple seed.
So I like a little bit of the conversation we had there at the break. So Drew and I were talking about, you know, kind of what happened with the cider industry. Why is it just kind of, you know, a bit of a dwarf, you know, of where it was? Because there were just hundreds of cider mills, you know, all across the globe. And I mean, seriously, you're down to probably, you know, 50, 100 cider mills, you know, globally.
Owned
by
the same 10 companies now?
Maybe, yeah.
I asked if it started with Prohibition.
Yeah,
know.
No, it really had to do with, you know, economic elements of supply and demand. So
taste moved?
Yeah. The, you know, basically, I mean, cider was a bit more of a commodity and, you know, there were yield management issues that, you know, really played in with a lot of the cider, you know, apples themselves. I mean, it was not unusual for you to lose a third of the crop. Variety of reasons.
Well, I know, like,
you know, weather.
I think being
organic
biggest,
before
yeah.
organic.
Yeah.
Like in Ireland specifically, there were certain blend or breeds
Red
or
Delicious.
Whatever that. Wow, rude.
Potatoes.
Like,
<you know?
laughs> like kind of like that has happened with some wine grapes. Like an infection or whatever gets in there, it can wipe it out. And then, like, if you aren't able to bring that
Is it something like the banana back. Stuff? Like where it's all like every banana that we've eaten is all the same clone of the same plant for the last like 50 years?
Well, I would
like,
definitely say the apples that you eat at the grocery store probably have been homogenized and genetically modified, you know, to the point that literally if I asked you guys, you know, how many variety of apples that you know, you'd probably hold up two fingers, Red Delicious and Granny Smith. So,
Macintosh.
You know, or Gala, maybe. I mean, if I had
Pink
to throw
Lady, this, Crips Pink.
Not you,
Trendy.
Yeah, you and I, a little expanded. But
Horse apples?
We're snobs, is
so
what he's
the
saying.
Thing I was telling Drew is that, you know, a lot of what led to the demise was, you know, a lot of a combination of just, you know, pricing, yield management, you know, with cider apples, and then, you know, overall supply and demand. And a lot of that was displaced by beer. And so, you know, I guess the thing that's kind of sticking out to me is, are we kind of in the middle of this same situation where beer is being marginalized by hard seltzer, you know,
consumer
right now.
Tastes are shifting again.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, so the, you know, woohoo girls are down to the point of going, I just don't like the grapefruit seltzer.
Truly.
You know, so bitter. Well, yeah. What do you guys think about this first cider?
Awesome cider. So I love this first
the
one.
The Spanish cider is
very well balanced.
Two of the three that we have, I believe we had to shake the bottle. And I think this was one to get all the poo off the bottle.
Yeah.
Because you want the poo.
So this is what they're saying in the description is it's a seriously bone dry cider made from organic and biodynamic heirloom apples in the Basque region of Spain, which is northern Spain.
It's dry.
So I really love the mid palate of this particular cider is really the star of the show because it has that kind of thing where you want to scrape off, you know, the middle of your tongue where you're going. Usually there's when you have an apple, you're like, you know, I just want to enjoy a little more and kind of scrape off the middle of my tongue. That's spot on. That is really right where you want to be. The finishing off this is just, you know, kind of a little disappointing. It's a little short. I kind of wanted a little bit more sugar to kind of hang around in my mouth. But this is a very solid cider.
I guess a question for me is this would be considered a still cider?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely wouldn't say it's sparkling.
It didn't move at all. It didn't move when I put it in the glass.
Okay.
There it goes.
What do you mean by a still cider?
Very little to no carbonation. Okay. Yeah.
It's like what? Still, semi-sparkling.
Well, I mean, what do you say this is a still cider? And for those of us who don't, you know, understand the designations, like, you know, is this like off a beer engine? You know, like cask beer, naturally fermented? Because, I mean, there's a little bit of a something going on.
I would say if there's the big mistake that I really see in serving ciders is specifically people throwing it on a CO2 tank. And they're doing that purely for the point of convenience. And then they screw up, you know, a lot of natural ciders. This is a natural cider we're enjoying right now. And, you know, I think to Sean's point, which is enjoy it the way that the cider, you know, maker actually, they want it this way.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. No, this is very enjoyable.
Yeah. Because you can make this cider the exact same way you make champagne or something, you know, or sparkling wine.
Okay, we are going to rate the Ordajo Iberico Basque Cider a 4.
Get some.
Great salvo. Yeah.
I did not anticipate liking these as much as I am.
I know, right?
Yeah. Wow.
See?
Okay, the next one that we are going to try is the Cornouet?
Cornholio?
No. Cornouet.
Cornwall?
From France.
Oui.
Cornouaille?
Born from the harmony of the soil, apple trees, and climate of the Breton coast, it is a golden cider with fruit aromas. To the eye, it presents a golden orange color, a generous and fine mousse, it says.
Wow. Crystal clear. I mean...
Yeah, it is beautiful.
Golden, delicious.
So golden cider is going to have more sugar in them. So that was not only do they look different, but they should taste different. I mean, that should be like the very first thing on the front end of your palate is going, it feels like you have sugar right on the
front. So to 5%, it's all still in it too, right?
Yep. Okay. For sure.
But it's not super sweet. I mean, there's definitely a sweetness to it, but there's an interesting...
like earthiness to it almost.
Smoky. Like, yes, I'm thinking like Lagavulin, the Freud, like give me some Band-Aids. And you know, the crazy thing is I hate those types of hates a strong word.
Hey, can you smack him? I'm
more of a Highlands or Speyside guy.
Okay, you're a girl. That's fine.
Wait, that's rude.
Drew's a Malort challenge right now.
Okay. You and me. All right.
I know you're from Russia, too.
It's on.
Or Pennsylvania, whatever.
I am the great cornholio. I need kippy for my bunghole.
So I really love some things off of the tasting notes, you know, associated with this. And I really love the suggestion of enjoying this as an aperitif. There's anything that I would say right up front is this is a great way, you know, to combine it with, you know, a meal as an aperitif.
Or a cheese plate.
Yeah.
Yes. This would be phenomenal with a cheese plate with some nutty, creamy, and I'm very lactose intolerant.
There's a complexity, you know, with this that it definitely feels like there's, you know, 8 layers, you know, of apples that are with this. It doesn't really kind of feel very one dimensional at all. And I really, that's one of the things I really enjoy about this particular. There is some carb,
bit. Yep.
Yep. It's probably light. On the semi side, but
I've had sparkling water, you know, far more carbonated than
what do you think, JB?
French! Why do you think I have this outrageous accent, you silly king?
I told them we are the Catalan.
So to echo what you're saying, yes, it's very layered. This gives me like a balsamic-y kind of amaro-y kind of taste to it, you know, because when I think of amaro, it's very layered, and that's what I love so much about it.
27 ingredients in average amaro, yes.
At least, yeah. Right?
Right.
So
the ones you know about.
So this is in that same family. I mean, this is not your grocery store cider
you
by any
said
means.
This is not your grandmother's amaro.
But for somebody, I like cider, but I'm not well versed in the complexities of cider. This is making me, you know, appreciate and want to have more.
Never drink beer again and have ciders like these, I'd probably be okay.
Oh. Well, right. I mean, for as nerdy as we can be about our beer, which yes, we can be nerdy about that.
What?
You can speak really yourself. I mean, this
no nerds at this table.
This cider and even the one previous to that, there's just so much more to it. This is amazing.
I think it's very fortuitous that we had these first two right next to each other because they could not be more dissimilar. Both outstanding in their own unique
absolutely.
Way.
Yeah. The one thing I'm picking up here is on the finish, there is a element of bitterness. And it has, you know, that the bitterness that you would typically get, you know, from the outside of an apple, the skin of an apple, and it's not almost off-putting. I actually like that a lot, you know.
Yeah.
It reminds me that I'm having a cider. It's right. You know,
yeah.
I'm not having a sparkling, you know, white wine of some kind, you know, that has gone bad and it's golden. This has all the essence of the apple, you know, about it. I love this. It's very complete. It's very balanced. And I absolutely love that suggestion as an aperitif. I think that is a super, super suggestion.
Judge boy.
So,
Yeah.
Are they open fermenting these? Are they spontaneous typically?
I would say this is close fermentation. It's not spawn. You know, they don't
just
go
curious.
That route.
I don't think it's quite that
funky. There's enough funk. There's just a little bit.
There's
the last
some
one, too.
Control.
I guess maybe something on the that on the left apples. Behind on the apple.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Just not quite out-competed enough.
You know, some ciders are actually, you know, fermented out in foeders, you know, where you're actually going to pick up, you know, some funk over time. But that's, you know, I would say that's the exception now. Just, gotcha. I mean, the pure cost of, you know, having, you know, footers around right now. Yeah.
Sean's going, maybe in Basque Country.
Let's see. Stainless steel tank, $8,000. Footer, $30,000.
Right. Yeah.
So they would have been one for 5,000 years. Yeah. Right? No.
Would that be like a Basque tub?
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the Cornouet from Cidreri Manoir du...
Cidreri.
Kinkies.
Manoir du Kinkies.
Manoir du Kinkies.
Yes, right.
That was my guess.
Kinky right. Boots.
This beautiful French cider, we are going to rate a 5.
Wow. Send me more, please.
Cidreri Manoir. Yeah. I am going to line this up with a meal soon.
Nice.
I'm going looking for this at my liquor store. Seriously.
I'll tell you where to get it.
Please.
I'll tell you where I got it anyways. All right. What's next, bud? Oh.
Good old boy Mike.
Yeah. So we have a topic here worth discussing today about Canadians. What, you know, seriously.
What do they know about apples?
Have you heard about it? There is a shortage. There is a strategic reserve of something in Canada. Canada taps its strategic reserves to deal with massive shortage of maple syrup. I was going to say good hockey, but you know, that's not happening.
They've been struggling with that for a while. Definitely
not. They've been struggling with both these for a while. So yeah, you know, the Canadian Quebec maple syrup producers, Quisse Mafia, recently announced it was releasing 50 million pounds of strategic maple syrup reserves. Please call the people at Cracker Barrel.
What percentage of the reserves is 50 million barrels?
It's like a third, I think.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. That's about half their total stockpile, believe it or not. And Quebec produces about 70% of the world's maple syrup. So next time you drift into Quebec, Sean, it's like, so... What kind of business are you into? I'm in the maple syrup business, man.
Import, export.
What do you want to know?
Got a couple of cases. I know, people.
I got a couple of gallons in my bag. You know,
like, but seriously, like the United States, we have a strategic oil reserve. The Canadians have a strategic maple syrup reserve. Yeah. Sure. Like, really?
They got their priorities.
Are
you packing some AZIPA?
They also have a strategic poutine reserve.
Yeah.
The gravy.
Are they holding it hot?
Yeah.
So the big problem is that actual worldwide demand jumped 21%. Who's to blame for that?
Probably American breweries making maple stouts.
No, whiskey companies doing maple barrel finishes.
I can believe. You know. So Norwegians, we should blame them. Anyway, maple syrup is made from the sap of maple trees. If you didn't know that, by inserting a metal tap into the tree's trunk. It involves usually a systematic plastic tubing. It's interesting. If you ever walk into, a maple syrup farm, it really looks like above ground irrigation
system. Yes, it does. It's pretty amazing.
It's pretty funny. You see all this stuff going all over the place. So
are there any like environmental, like activists that
strip like, mining protests?
Like, yeah, you're plunging a piece of metal into
oddly
a tree
no yeah so our family actually does have a maple syrup farm,
up so you in got Vermont. Out of the apple cider business.
No, it we still
they're doing sort of ish yeah apple cider.
So I've walked through they there a maple. Few times. It is kind of, it's really interesting. It's fascinating business. I think the thing that I'm really shocked about is definitely the price. I'm like, wow, you know, are we selling crack cocaine here or what?
They just changed the grading system.
I mean, I thought maple syrup is the crack cocaine of Canada.
Oh, it totally is. Yeah. If I had a national sport that I sucked at that bad, I would.
Wow. You're talking about what's the one with the broom? Curling.
Yeah. Yep. So you need to adopt that.
Getting drunk on the maple hooch and absolutely. Go curling.
I know.
I want to be the president of make curling the national sport of Canada.
Curling great again?
Yeah, please.
So I know like Juliana has brewed some maple stouts in the past, and that's where we found out like there are a couple of different grades of maple syrup and
changed the grading too recently.
It changes based on, so the grades tend to follow the harvest. So you get a lot of sugar flowing, that's the top grade. The early part of the season where there's not as much sugar flowing, that's usually the grades that are lower.
And the grades that are lower are usually the ones that people brew with, because you don't necessarily
want a lot of food products.
I used to buy exclusively grade B maple syrup for my pancakes and everything else because it was always super dark, very maple, intense flavor. I always equated it to olive oil. Pomace olive oil, which is when they're expressing like the seeds and the stems, and there's nothing more
it's
olive
like orange
flavored.
Wine. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, and so, it's not just a big sugar rush.
Yeah, you pay more for extra virgin that tastes like nothing, but you pay, so that, I don't know, that's curious.
Well, this is not the first time that Quebec's maple syrup reserve has actually made headlines. Guess what happened?
Oh, there was a big heist.
That's exactly right. No.
Were there barrels involved?
There were 3,000 tons of maple syrup were stolen from the stockpile over the course of months. The value of the heist was estimated at $19 million.
So that's like what's cut it and distributed it on the
black market. Like 75 American
was
dollars.
Was that metric tons?
Yeah. Wow.
You know, can we get a rim shot, please? You know, I mean, seriously.
That's what she said.
So anyway, so listen, next time you enjoy your maple syrup, realize that there's an entire mafia behind it.
Their strategic reserves were tapped for your pancakes.
Yeah. And now we return back to cider.
Don't wreck our show, you hoser.
Okay. Let's go to the United States and let's go to Charlottesville, Virginia. The next one that we are going to talk about is Cider Nouveau from Potter's Craft Ciders. This one so far is the highest ABV.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter.
it's a very darky, like it's a rosé style cider.
It's very red,
fermented on Petit Verdot and Merlot grape skins from the King Family Vineyards. It's aged in French oak.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from October of this year.
So absolutely, the first thing you pick up on is which one of these things doesn't look like the other.
Sure.
And the thing that's bringing that around is absolutely the wine barrel is bringing a lot of the, not only the color variation that we're having here, but it's actually bringing around a lot of the whole experience. Sugars are very different in this.
Yes. Some great tannins. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the grape definitely comes through on this.
It definitely feels like a crossover cider for sure. Like, you know, something's wrong, but something's also right.
Yeah.
I really want to serve this with me. Like, I'm just running through my head, like, what would I pair this with?
Yeah, it's amazing that this is a cider. Wow. Like,
I got like a lot of cheeses bouncing through my head.
For sure.
Yeah.
I said cheese plate like for the first one.
Gave up being a cider at some point.
Havarti.
Yeah. Mmm.
Yeah, please. For sure.
So, what you guys,
we'll ponder this over the break.
Okay.
Yeah, this is really, really tasty. We'll be back with this cider from Charlottesville in just a minute.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Unless we wanted to bring up Applejack.
Ooh. Maybe not.
Really? You had to go there?
Welcome back, everyone. Today, we got apples in our pockets, and we are on a hunt for some really good cider. And this
something new.
Yeah, and something new. So, the cider that we were talking about right before the break is from essentially our backyard in Charlottesville, Virginia. It is the Cider Nouveau from Potter's Craft Ciders. This is, okay, so up to this point, our ciders have been traditional blonde colors. This one is a beautiful rosé. And what we were talking about during the break is, despite all the different flavor profiles that we've had up to this point, the apple is still there and it's still prominent. Like, so you know you're getting a cider, but for somebody that doesn't like wine, I think this is an amazing alternative for them. You know what I mean?
The thing I'm getting up front is a lot of the tannins, you know, and the barrel. But yeah, the apple is like right behind it. I don't. I can't believe it had been on there more than 6 months.
Color wise, yeah, definitely not.
It had to be a short period of time. Yeah.
And it's also, it's funny, it's the first American cider we've had, and it's like almost double strength.
Well,
right. It's old world.
I think the thing I like about this too. Is the reduced sugar, you know, off this. There is barely any sugar in the mid palate of this at all.
Very dry.
Yeah. But I also, the first thing that comes to mind isn't that it's dry.
Either. No,
like yeah, it's not.
I'm not saying
dry for sure, but it's not like, in a way that
I really don't just, like that. I think that
the carbonation probably plays a little bit into that that experience. If I had to take a guess, and I'm guessing,
sure.
Hey, your guess is as good as mine.
This is gorgeous. Yeah, this is so nice. We are going to rate the Cider Nouveau from Potter's Craft Ciders a 4.
Strong ciders today. Coming. Bringing the heat.
I'm not cuveying any
so
of this.
Now we're going to go back to Spain. And this is another 6% ABV cider. Again, from the Basque region. This is Sagardo Naturala.
And this is another one we had to shake up in the bottle before we opened it.
So it has an effervescence that is immediately apparent in the pour. It is a strong it has a strong oyster-like minerality that comes across on the palate.
I don't know if I'd go with oyster.
Well, I think the oyster kind of is an off-putting term, but there is a minerality in it.
Oh, for sure.
I'm with Dave. Yeah, that is totally where I'm.
Got some rock. River rock in my mouth.
Like, yeah. I don't know if you guys ever had like an oyster doza, like from
oyster stouts.
You get that kind
probably of been tortured with it.
Well, this has definitely the sour characteristic that of like a goza or something like that.
That's kind of where my mind kind of goes.
A slight tart salinity sort
of, funk.
Yes.
No.
What do you think of that bad idea, Mike? I think it was a bad idea.
Whatever, are you talking to yourself?
Yeah, sort of. Yes.
Well, no one else will.
I really love the mid palate, you know, off of this one as well, and it is unlike any of the others that we've had so far. Yeah,
sounds like Sean is over here. The trend is that nothing is like the other.
Like, if you were to ask me if one of these could be open fermented or they did something funky with it, this is the one I would do.
I don't know. It's so consistent in the way that it's funky, though. It almost, I would say they inoculated it.
Yeah, 100%.
So, the thing that again, the sugars are things I tend to think about. You know, and I don't mean to sound repetitive in talking about where it is. You know, with each of these, it's on the front end, but it is very faint, you know, in terms of a lot of the sugars. The thing that's really kind of shining through is that minerality, you know, component in the mid palate here. This is definitely something that you want to eat something with this. You know, I would probably enjoy this with a really great pasta dish.
Paella would
work really well. Something very heavy tomato, you know, based. This is a great pizza cider, I think.
I like that. Plenty of anchovies on there.
Yeah.
Well, this is very indicative of Spanish cuisine. I mean, like, I could understand why this is made.
Give me some tapas with this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's just
anything. Work. Yeah.
I mean, we could hang at a peninsula and just run the gamut with this.
I think of all the ciders we've had so far, this is one of those ciders that it needs something else alongside of it to really enjoy it as much.
Sure.
Because it has that cleansing quality component about it. And I think even as we're sitting here just kind of enjoying it all by itself, I'm like dying for a cracker or a, you know, piece of cheese or something else.
Some charcuterie.
Yeah.
Some Iberico ham.
Yeah. It needs a companion on the palate, you know, enjoy it.
It needs a companion, but again, so completely different than anything else that we have. And the minerality is just blowing me away. Like, it's light and it's funky, but it's delicate and it's yummy. And we are going to rate this one, the Sagarda Naturale, a 4.
Man.
Some heavy hitters. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. We're going back to the United States now. and we're going back to Charlottesville. This is the Sur La Mer from the Drew family cellars.
Yes. This is in Elk, California.
Oh, sorry. No Elk, relation. California. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the other one. Sorry. A light and refreshing dry cider made like a traditional sparkling wine and containing notes of citrus, green apple, quartz, and subtle saline notes, indicative of the coastal proximity to them.
Interesting. Now, the Drew, they are mostly a vineyard. They make a lot of wines.
Yes.
But apparently they decided to take a swing at some cider.
We are very, shall we say, Renaissance people. We Drews.
Not unusual because, you know, a lot of the same equipment that you use for winemaking really, you know, comes over and across, you know, in terms of cider making as well. Really kind of the fruit crush is probably the big thing that's very different piece of equipment. But in terms of fermentation and, you know, racking, big, you know, bats, cider and barrels, anything else, tubes. I mean, yeah. It's not so really terribly different. So do you think
the similarities between winemaking and cider making are what drew them to try
I am betting that they had a back 40 of their property where they had a certain variety of cider apples, and they just been trying to figure out
I think there was probably like a third child who was like, I want to get in the family
the railway
business.
Comes
like,
down no, from no, Washington no,
no. Yeah,
I'll make apple cider. What do you guys think about this, man? It's pretty good.
This is delicious. It is so far my least favorite of the flight, but that doesn't mean I don't like it.
Is it more just like what you normally think of a cider?
It's yeah, like it's a bit basic,
kind of straightforward,
deliciously basic,
like a basic bitch.
Yeah. I mean, there's no dog to this, you know.
Definitely the carb component around this is, you know, probably the most. I think probably the most endemic element of saying, oh, yeah, this is a cider, because it tastes like sparkling, you know,
popped a cork out of this. Yeah.
Is the cage. Is the carbonation part of the drying effect on this one for you guys?
Not really, you know, for me anyway.
Yeah. I think it's probably whatever apple it is.
This is definitely probably the most green apple we've had Granny so Smith. Far.
Yeah.
It's not full-blown Granny Smith. It's not more sugar. That tart.
Crab apples. Crab apple, isn't it?
Yeah. Crab apples are a lot more bitter than this.
Yeah.
You would never have crab apples in a cider.
It's like some Anderson apple or something like that.
I can buy that. Yeah. But the definitely I think the mid palate here is totally the green apple, you know, tart component that is kind of right there in the heart of this. I think I think the fact that this one is carved up. This is one of those things that you pull off the shelf when somebody says, I want a cider, and they don't know anything about a cider. This is totally what you serve up, you know, to say.
No surprises.
That will absolutely hit the target. You won't be overwhelmed. You won't go, well, this is too much or too little or whatever.
It's middle of the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But it's solid. It's a solid performer.
So if you had a Sauvignon Blanc or a Riesling drinker and all you had was this would go great for them too.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I think that's a good way of looking at it.
I think if you were going to a, like a winery visit in California and you wanted to try a cider, this is probably what you get.
Oh, sure. Very wine-like.
Yeah. In essence, good apple flavor and then that saline on the end to like help dry it out. Yeah, I think is yummy. We are going to rate the Sur La Mer from Drew Family Cellars in California a 3.
Nice job, Drew.
I do my best.
Okay, going back to Spain, we are now going to the Is Cider.
Is?
From Sidería Zeta.
We sure is.
6% ABV, made from 100% locally grown apples from their apple trees and other farmhouses along the Urola coast.
I want to move here.
It's interesting going from that last one back to this one.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Just so dramatically different.
Yes.
Wow.
And not to say that the last one was bad or that this one is so just like amazingly better, but.
Yeah, I'm getting some of the phenolic notes that we had in the one earlier. Yeah, this is good. It's tasty.
Juliana, what do you got?
Love. I don't get the salinity, obviously, that we had in the last one. I'm getting a little balsamic-iness.
There's acetic, for sure.
On there, which I like. It's reminding me again of another Amaro, just in the layers on this. and the apple still just shines. I mean, because it's true apple.
And
it's,
yet different from all of the other apples that we have already had, yet still unexplainably.
Kinda, man, the, on the nose, it's almost like a Flanders. Like if you were to think of
Yeah.
It is, but I'm not.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm not sad about it at all. And this really makes me appreciate ciders because, you know, the grocery store version of a cider that you can get is just so sweet. Oh, yeah. It almost, and it's so artificial. For the novice, you think that, oh, this is just what apple cider is. People, and this is, you know, and this is great. But then you get into this and what we've been tasting, and my palate is just blown away because there's so much more complexity of what an heirloom cider can be. And
it's not just apple juice with booze.
No, gosh, no, 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 no.
So much of that.
Right. I mean,
not necessarily on the show, but if you've tried a cider
in America,
no, I mean, in general, yes.
Yeah. And local to anywhere in the U.S.
Yeah. Sure, sure. No, this is gorgeous.
To me, this one has a taste profile I would describe as like an upside down U, where it's kind of like hanging off the side of your tongue, and you kind of, you feel the bitterness component that's kind of riding on the outside, kind of like a set of guide rails. And yet you still have the sugar and the tart component that's kind of flowing right over,
right
over the middle of this. And so it's this very interesting, you know, balance, you know, between all of those. And I think that it's the choice of the variety of apples that's really absolutely bringing this all around. So, you know, I had this interesting discussion with somebody, you know, really recently, is this about skill or is this about ingredients?
Both.
And so to me, this is something that the ingredients are bringing around. Actually, we had the conversation with Dave.
The skill to know not to mess with the ingredients.
This is one of those things where you kind of step out of the way, let the product speak for itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, say, the only thing I can do is screw this up. I just need to execute the process.
Well, this is why you can only get certain things from certain places.
Yeah.
Too.
If more cider was like this, geez.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love how you're saying about how the sweetness is in the middle of the tongue and it's just going straight down. And as this is sitting on my tongue, I'm like scraping the side of my cheeks because I'm getting that little bitterness.
It's
and I want
my tongue all over my teeth.
And I want that.
I want that
mix. And I'm making like my own cocktail in my mouth, so to speak. Yeah.
This is the one cider we had in the mix that, you know, definitely has a lot of the bitterness components kind of through, you know, the side of it all. So, you know, I love the choice of apples with this. Really great.
This is beautiful. So the Is Cider from Spain, we are going to rate a 5.
So I'd like to let everyone know Mike has agreed to send us all on a field trip to Basque, Spain.
I'll warm up cider the gym.
Okay. Last but certainly not least, we are going back to Potter's Craft Ciders in Charlottesville, and we're going to do the Farmhouse Dry.
Super cool.
This one is 8.4% ABV, pale gold and effervescent with pronounced fruit aroma.
Wow.
8.4?
Mm-hmm.
8.4?
Yeah,
it's America.
And they're using Gold Rush,
wrecked them down there, killed them.
Albemarle, Pippin, Old Virginia, Winesap apples.
Isn't that so? Like stuff.
The first one that told us what apples.
Yeah,
I will call that out right now.
It's interesting, but I didn't. I actually get the honeydew kind of like right off the nose, man. You know.
Very much.
I love the
Marlboro New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
Wow, so melon. Very different. This is like a blend of melons in your mouth. Mm-hmm. This is like, this is cantaloupe and honeydew and every kind of, you know, everything in the cantaloupe family. You know, kind of just dancing all over you.
But
this
the apple's like there different. Too, though. Like that's what's so crazy.
You know, but you know, like it's a nice finish for this flight to me. It's because it's such a break.
So dramatically
it's
different.
It's clean very enough bright. As well. You know, it's almost palate cleansing too. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
This is this is
very neat. Light, refreshing.
Not farmhouse in the way that I would like a farmhouse beer.
No, you
know, this is not a saison of a cider.
No, I was expecting something salad, a little funky, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Farmhouse Dry from Potter's Craft Ciders, we are going to rate a 4. And if I may say, I mean, I think Wow, this has been such a great flight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy
good. I really love the variety of everything that we went through, you know, in this discussion.
I'm going to buy all of these.
Yeah, I definitely that minerality one is like...
Well, even the ones that were from a similar region were still different.
Yeah. You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Great flight.
And, well, that is going to do it for today with us. And what an amazing, amazing flight. Where am I? We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you are listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Give it a little tappy.
Subscribe button. The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or Uncle Larry, play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes.
We love your feedback, and you can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com.
Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day. Our handle on there is @SipSudSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll be able to interact with the thousands and millions of other fans on those social media platforms.
Hey, do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online.
5 stars.
That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well.
I wish you kind of sung that.
Good old boy, Sean. Thanks so much for being here.
Great to be here, and it's good to revisit Ciders. It's been a while, so yeah. Cheers.
Cool. Good old boy, Mike.
Hey, I would really encourage you to embrace one product out of today's flight. Step outside your norm and pick up one of these. I'll ask you to come back, enjoy another great episode of Sip Suds and Smokes, and to keep on sipping.
Good old boy, Drew.
Here you are, stuck in the middle with Drew.
Is it with maple syrup?
Good old boy, Dave.
Sticky. I'd like to echo what Mike said and ask you all to hug a cider.
Yeah.
Aww.
Ciders need love, too.
That's right.
They do. And we certainly have had a good variety of cider today. Thank you guys so much for listening to us. Keep on chuggling. Grab some cider, and we'll see you on the next one.
Is that an apple in your pocket, or are you happy to see me?
Johnny.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.